I saw her today at the reception, a glass of wine in her hand. I knew she would meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. Oh, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. I went down to the demonstration to get my fair share of abuse, singing, "We're gonna vent our frustration. If we don't, we're gonna blow a 50-amp fuse. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need." Ooh. I went down to the Chelsea drugstore to get your prescription filled. I was standing in line with Mr. Jimmy, and man, did he look pretty ill. We decided that we could have a soda, my favorite flavor, cherry red. I sung my song to Mr. Jimmy, and he said just one word to me. That was dead. I said to him, "You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need, you get what you need." I saw her today at the reception. In her glass was a bleeding man. She was practiced at the art of deception. Well, I could tell by her blood-stained hand. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. Well, that's right, folks. Keep on trying. You just might get what you need. I thought I'd try a some Stones classics tonight, but well, I'm no Mick Jagger. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's a listener-supported network, and this is the beginning of the month, so they really need your support this week. freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. And you know, you can also listen to us at newdream.us, our website, and hey, we've just uploaded archive for the last six shows, so be sure to check it out. And now, I am proud to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Ava Bird, Azura Crispino, Mickey Z, Frank Cordero, and Philip Ferruggio. So this Thursday evening, the gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in northern Minnesota, in Port Orange, Florida, in Des Moines, Iowa, in Los Angeles, in New York City, in Austin, Texas, and wherever you are. My recommended, there's a special edition of Penn Magazine available now. Trump and Putin make world peace, and the media and Democrats go ballistic. WTF. The newest edition of Penn Magazine, PENNmagazine.us. You can also find this edition and other editions of Penn Magazine since November 2017 at archive.org. So find Penn Magazine at PENNmagazine.us and archive.org. When you go to archive.org, you would put Penn, P-E-N-N, Magazine in the search engine, and what they'll do, then you'll see all of the editions come up, and you'll click on the one you want to look at. Our first guest of the show is Ava Byrd. Ava Byrd joins us from Los Angeles. She's a poet and an activist and was one of our first guests a long, long time ago. And now it's not long, long time ago. It's today, and we're going to hear Ava Byrd from Los Angeles. Chuck, how are we getting it? No, I'm not. Chuck, I'm not hearing anything. Chuck is trying to get Ava Byrd's audio interview up, and
are you hearing me, Mike?
Yes, and I can hear it, Ava, in the background.
All right, we'll play it that way.
And molested at the airport by the state. And I'll go into it, and I'll tell you the long story short. And if there's any listeners that have any insight as to what I can do about this, or if there's any recourse, or I'm really stuck about what to do about it. Because as many people know, the TSA is like the IRS or like the pharmaceutical companies, where they have complete immunity for whatever they're doing. They can murder, they can maim, and they have immunity. So this is what is so upsetting about this, is that there's, you can do nothing wrong and actually be arrested and taken to jail, and nobody's held accountable. In fact, it's you.
Okay, we're gonna try to restart this in just a second. Okay, folks, we're having a problem with the audio here. Mike, if you could just talk a little bit while I try to check some settings, and we'll see if we can make it work again.
Okay, Chuck. Again, I was saying before that the special edition of Penn Magazine is available at PENNmagazine.us, also at archive.org. Trump and Putin make world peace, and the media and Democrats go ballistic. WTF, the newest edition of Penn Magazine. What the special edition talks about is Trump and Putin making world peace. And what I heard on the radio that day, on National Public Radio, heard over the computer and other media, was that everyone, meaning the Democrats and the national media, were very upset with Trump about making peace with Putin and calling him a traitor. And I just don't understand that. I don't understand what that's all about. It seems that if anyone is going to help us to step back from the precipice of nuclear war, I just don't understand why people would be upset about that and calling him a traitor. I think they would be celebrating that. And so that's what this edition is about. Of course, there's many things that Trump does or has done and will do that I think are very wrong. And some of those are also mentioned in this edition. Towards the back of it, there's also an excerpt from, not the excerpt, the whole book, Iowa Terror, which came out in 2007. And it talked about 9/11 and about the Democrats. And about the reason I talk about the Democrats so much is because, well, I guess I put my faith in the Democrats. because they're supposed to do, to me, they're supposed to do what is right. They're supposed to be the ones with heart and with soul and with the courage to do the right thing. But the Democrats, it seems, have been co-opted by, in the Clinton years, in order to be get elected or be popular or whatever, to get money. You become more Republican than the Republicans, and it just doesn't make sense. And it's carried over to today. Of course, with Obama, he was nothing. And no, Chuck, I can't hear you. I can't hear you at all. I don't know if others are hearing you, but I'm not hearing you. Chuck is having problems with his computer. Hello, Chuck.
Well, okay, folks, we're trying something else, and we're going to see if we can get Mike on the line now, because we're just having all kinds of problems with the computer tonight, but hopefully we can get back on track. So, just bear with me a minute while I pull him up. Okay. We should be trying. I wish I could hear something. Okay, well, it's trying to call. Hello, Mike, are you there?
I'm here, Chuck.
Okay, I think we are on the air. We're using my iPad to get on the air because my computer is doing something funny. So with a little luck, if you were to continue to talk, you will be going out to the listeners, and I'm going to try to do something to... I don't know what we're going to do about this interview with Ah, because it was a really good one, and we've lost almost all of our time for it now. But we'll have to figure something out. In the meantime, if you could talk a little bit while I try to get the computer to work, that would be great.
Sure, Chuck. I wanted to say this. Don't watch TV news. Just don't do it. Don't read newspapers for anything but your local softball and bowling scores. Don't do it, because if you do, you're wasting your time and you're turning your own brain to mush. Rather, here's something. You go to commondreams.org. I'll just read some headlines here. These stories won't turn your brain to mush. Empire in decline. Really? The American war machine continues to grow. We need healthcare champions, not puppets. Documents expose Big Pharma's scheme to turn Democratic candidates against Medicare for all. In disastrous wreck for consumers and the planet, Trump EPA moves to cut clean car standards. Reversing Catholic doctrine. Pope Francis declares death penalty inadmissible in all cases. And that's a big one, at least to me. 40 Senate Democrats join GOP to send $717 billion military spending bill to Trump's desk. And I think that's to me, that's the headline anywhere. This gigantic military budget, we don't need it. The whole Russiagate thing is a hoax, is fake, as well as, and it does matter. Sandy Hook and Boston, those are all 9/11, those are all meant to do this, to bring money to defense contractors, to people's pockets. And people not only lose money, people die for this. So this is a big deal. I think this is the whole enchilada here. 40 Senate Democrats joined GOP to send $717 billion military spending bill to Trump's desk. And it goes on and on. The beat goes on and on. And if you don't want your news to be censored by the Democrats, if you want the whole truth, turn to Information Clearinghouse. Some of the headlines on Information Clearinghouse: Trump's Iraq, why the president wants war with Iran. Israel has no right to self-defense against Gaza. Faces of North Korea by Andre Bilczek. If you don't know who Andre Bilczek is, you need to. He is a world traveling reporter who isn't being paid for by any of the mainstream media. He's an independent, and he manages to go all over the world, and he reports all from all over the world. So this particular piece is Faces of North Korea, but if you Google or find Andre Bilczek, Bilczek, you'll find many, many articles by him, and you'll find him well worth reading, and he's also a novelist. The United States is the only remaining colonial power by Paul Craig Roberts. Paul Craig Roberts is another of the vital information sources out there that I think you need to go to. U.S. intelligence community is tearing the country apart from the inside. And so this is from Information Clearinghouse, and I get those in my email every day, and I suppose many of you do too. So Information Clearinghouse and commondreams.org, as well as Scott Creighton, the American Everyman blog. I think it's willielohman.org. Anyway, Scott Creighton, Creighton. And, of course, Kevin Barrett and False Flag Weekly News every Friday from No Life Radio. Jim Fetzer at jamesfetzer.wordpress.com. James Tracy at memoryholeblog.org. And I think the reason I talk about these so much is because I think information is vital, and it does matter. And the CIA and the FBI, they realize that as well, and they are well funded in the information battle. Another thing that I've seen recently, if you go to Truth Stream Media, there's a new a video that they have, a new documentary they've been working on for 3 years. It's called The Minds of Men, and they're just so good. And I rented it for, I think it was $3.99 for 72 hours. You can also buy it for, I think, $12, and you can also buy a DVD if you want to. But it goes into the deep, detailed history of MK Ultra, and it's so vital what they do, as well as I would have to add in there James Corbett of the Corbett Report, and who else? Debbie Lusignan, Lusignan, the sane progressive. She used to be on YouTube quite a bit, but she was one of those who got a lot of her videos deleted. So to find anything from Debbie Lusignan, the sane progressive, you have to go to BitChute, BitChute. And those are just vital, and I think it's also vital. Those are vital things to do. I think it's vital to things not to do, which is not to read newspapers, except for perhaps bowling and softball scores, or to watch TV news. It's just, unless you want to see, want you to read between the lines the propaganda that's going out there. Chuck says, Chuck, are you hearing me at all, Chuck?
Yes, Mike, I've been hearing you the whole time, and
okay.
I just muted my microphone here on the iPad that I was using to try to keep us on the air.
Well, it should be going to ads about now. Is it doing that, or
we should be going to ads real soon. Folks, we apologize for the technical difficulties that happen every now and then.
Listen to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
It's always frustrating for us, and I know it's frustrating for you listeners as well. Hey, well, we'll try to do better for Willow's the rest world. Of the show, please.
A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen.
Maybe we're not on the air.
Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Studio A.
Things are a mess right now. I'm going to disconnect this and try connecting the other way and see on the other side.
Okay, all right.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, then, folks, we are still having major problems with our audio. I think we may be on the air at this point. Mike, I would like you to continue with the show as much as you can without our pre-records while I figure out something else to do. And just bear with me. I'm trying to fix it. I can't hear you, Mike. Well, I don't seem to be able to hear you, Mike, now, so.
Chuck?
Yeah? Oh, okay.
You hear me?
I hear you now.
I hear you now, too. Okay.
Okay.
Are we able to get to any of our interviews?
Maybe there's a way. It's gonna be a kludge. You want to try Abba again now?
Yeah, let's go for it if you want. If you can.
Let's do that. Folks, we're sorry. The audio isn't going to be as good as usual, but we're going to try.
Happy August.
Huh? It's great to have you.
Happy August.
Happy August to you. I understand you had a rather eventful July that you were telling me about. I'm hoping that you will share your experience with our listeners. It sounded, harrowing at best.
I would love the opportunity to share this experience, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so. And thanks for giving me the forum and for, allowing me to talk about it. It's a sensitive issue for everybody, and it's something that we don't really talk about as a country, as a society, and we should. But I had an experience where I was harassed and profiled and abused and molested at the airport by this thing. And I'll go into it, and I'll tell you the long story short. And if there's any listeners that have any insight as to what I can do about this, or if there's any recourse, or, I'm really stuck about what to do about it, because, as many people know, the TSA is like the IRS or like the pharmaceutical companies, where they have complete immunity for whatever they're doing. They can murder, they can name, and they have immunity. So this is what is so upsetting about this, is that there's, you know, you could do nothing wrong and actually be taken, arrested and taken to jail, and nobody's held accountable. In fact, it's you that's accountable for their mistakes. So this is what is really upsetting to me. And basically what happened was, I had taken a last-minute dream vacation. I had some time off that I hadn't expected to have, and I decided that I was going to go to Paris and, you know, be an artist there for a couple of weeks. It was a real dream trip, and I was really excited about it. And I packed my bags, and I drove to a parking lot and parked my car and took a shuttle to the airport. And I was nothing but ecstatic about traveling and taking this trip. I was going by myself. So I don't have any photos or video or witnesses that's in my possession right now about what happened, but I'm trying to get that. But basically, I get to the airport, on time, and I check in my bag, and I walk up to the, I start walking the stupid lines at the TSA, take off your shoes and all the nonsense and stuff. Takes to do it, but nobody really speaks up about it, and nobody really talks about, you know, how, what a ridiculous activity that is, to have to go through and you know, those machines, the radiation machines, some people call them rape machines, because you stand up there and you have to put your hands up in the air, and, you know, the thing goes around. One, you know, it's radiation in your body, and two, it's a complete violation of your bodily autonomy. I mean, you know, they can practically see the plaque on your brain from those machines. So, you know, I had put all my stuff on the conveyor belt and walked it through and, you know, took off stupid shoes and all that stuff. And I walked through the machine and, you know, it beeped or something happened. And she said, you know, what's in your pocket? And in my back pocket, I had some cash, paper money that I had, paper in my back pocket. And I took it out. I said, oh, this is cash. I didn't put it on the thing. And, you know, and she said, oh, we're going to have to pat you down. And I have my boundaries about being personally violated, and I don't like the machine, and I don't like the pat downs either, because it's a physical violation. It's actually a severe physical violation, because they're touching your sexual organs. And I had done it before. I had decided that I didn't want the radiation in my body in a previous experience, so I decided to do the pat down. And when I did that, I said I was never going to do it again, because it was such a violation of my body. So it's like, you know, the lesser of two evils, you know. And you know, like I said, I'll do one or the other, even though I don't want to, but if I have to, you know, I have to. So I chose to walk through the machine, and then when they said you have to have the pat down, it was a boundary violation for myself, for my own personal integrity and my own personal ethics. It was not okay to be touched in that way by anybody. And I didn't have anything on me. I didn't have any drugs. I didn't have any guns or knives. I didn't have anything that would warrant, you know, a physical pat-down search. You know, like I said, it was just cash. It was paper money in my back pocket. So I said, and the girl also has come over, she said, you know, we're going to pat you down, and then started, you know, was already like bumping into me and touching me and stuff. And I was really uncomfortable. I didn't want to be touched by this person or anybody. But I did feel like I was being, you know, I felt like it was like they were profiling me, that they wanted to do this, like they were going out of their way to do this to me. And it was not okay with me. And I politely said, I don't want to be touched. I don't want anybody touching me. And I'll walk through the machine again, or I'll just leave. I'll take my things and leave, but I don't want anybody to touch me. And so, of course, you know, we have to call the supervisor. So the supervisor came over, and I told her the same thing. And she said, well, we can do a private screening in a private room. no, we won't. So, you know, I did. I said about at least 5 or 10 times that I'm not consenting to being groped or violated or sexually molested by anybody at the TSA or anyone. And I made it very clear. And, you know, I wasn't nasty. I wasn't mean. I just was very clear about what my boundaries were. And she said, well, we're going to have to call the police then. So I thought, well, I mean, what can the police really do? If you're just saying no to a sexual violation, then that's got to be respected or at least honored. But that isn't the case now. Thanks to the Patriot Act and our mentally retarded President George W. Bush that, signed the Patriot Act. This is part of the Patriot Act from the false flag, complete lie of 9/11. This is the result of that. So we're all subject to complete molestation by low-level employees of the TSA in the airport. And going back to my story, they did call the police, and of course they swarmed over as if there was some kind of big terrorist attack. Of course, that don't really exist anyway. But the police came, and just within a split second, they handcuffed me and arrested me and didn't read me my rights, didn't say anything. I mean, they were about as retarded as George W. Bush. They were emotionally and mentally and, just a complete low life. That's not a surprise, but, this whole time I've got my shoes off. They've got all my things. They're looking through my things, 5 and 10 times. Of course, they can't find anything because they don't have anything on me that was dangerous or that was a weapon or that wasn't allowed. They proceeded to, tell me that they were threatening me. This is going to go on your record. You better consent to this. And this, I said, no, I just kept saying, no, I'm not consenting to being sexually violated. It's not okay with me. And after about 45 minutes of them standing around like I'm some piece of meat, like, they're waiting to gang rape me, they finally decide that they'll rope me anyway while I'm in handcuffs. So while about 10 police officers and TSA agents and now the airport personnel from the airline that I was flying on had come up to the area too watch the gangbang, they came and they groped me, they pat me down, but it was about 5 times that they checked, my body for nothing that they were ever able to find. As many times as I refused politely and said no, that I wasn't okay, that I didn't want to do it, and that I would actually just leave. Look, I'll take my things and I'll leave. I even offered that. No, I wasn't allowed to leave. I had to submit to a sexual groping and a sexual violation by the police and the TSA. And not only that, they still arrested me and took me to jail. So there goes my dream vacation. There goes all my, the airline ticket I didn't get refunded on.
Oh my.
And my bag check. That was another $90 for my bag, the check that never went to Paris either. The ticket said trespassing, refusal to submit to a TSA search, although they did it anyway, although I put all my bags and stuff on that thing and did as much as I could within my personal ethics. I was willing to, do what I did, and I wasn't willing to do anymore, but they forced me to go beyond what my morality and what my ethics are. So, to me, I know that it happens to people every day, and I know that there are people that are afraid to speak out, or they won't, or they can't for whatever reason, but I'm not afraid, and I am speaking out, and this is not okay. I know that it's a lie that we have a democracy. I know that. A lot of people don't know that, but, at least people are pretending. But even now, this is obvious that you can't really pretend that we have a democracy when these things exist in our, basic daily lives. I mean, flying is a part of life for people. Somebody's sick, you have a sick parent, a sick kid, a relative, a funeral, a wedding. You have to get on an airplane and go. And you have to submit to being sexually and physically and religiously violated. I mean, to me, I have an agreement with a partner that nobody is to touch us sexually. And that was a violation of my personal relationship and, again, my personal ethic. And it's not okay with me. and I'm really upset that this happened to me and that it happens to other people. And just the fact that they didn't just let it go, that they actually arrested me and took me to jail for that. And they were never able to find anything, the ticket. They had to let me go once they took me to the jail. They had to let me go because they didn't have anything on me. They couldn't keep me.
Well, Ava, so, I'm so sorry this happened to you, and I admire your, getting out there, telling us about it, and I hope that you can find some way to fight back, the ACLU or an attorney, something, because this is just wrong, and it's just totally wrong.
It's completely wrong, and they're doing it to, old ladies, little babies, searching little babies, and, I mean, come on, this is not a democracy. We have a constitution. This is a search and seizure. Did they have a warrant to look through all my things? And, I mean, it's pathetic. This is a pathetic, pathetic democracy, a pretend fake democracy. And to pretend that we have this and to live in it and for people to just live this lie, it's not okay.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Ava, thank you
so much.
We're going to have to stop now, but thank you so much for sharing this with us. And I'm sad and I'm angry that this happened to you. It's just really wrong. And
thank you for listening and for being compassionate about the experience. I'm really mad and angry too. I mean, this has only been a couple of weeks now, 2 weeks, and I'm still really, I feel like, I just feel really violated on a deep, deep, personal and physical level. And, I still feel it in my body, just that whole experience. And that, there goes, this is my dream vacation. I mean, aside from that, and even the biggest disappointment, but that's there too, that I didn't get to go to Paris, and I had to go back home, and but anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to share this, and if this can spark anybody else in action, and to say, look, this is not okay. I mean, as a society, we have to collectively get together and say these institutions are not constitutional, and they're not acceptable in a responsible, humane, moral society. This is not right. So if anybody has any information on what I can do, or you file complaints, but they just laugh. They'll look at it. It's nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're just going to probably laugh about it, and that's the part that really upsets me too.
If any of our listeners know of some way that Ava can fight this, please contact us. You can contact me, CWG at CWGServices.com, or Mike, NWestIowa at gmail.com, and we will make sure to get you in touch with Ava, and we'll try to make something happen here. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. And it did happen in California at LAX, if that is necessary information.
That's important.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. I appreciate, again, the opportunity. And thanks for your compassion and your heart and for the wonderful show and all the work that you guys do.
Thank you. Thank you, Ava. And we'll talk to you next month on a happier note, I hope.
Okay. And I've got some great, fresh poetry that I'll hopefully be able to share.
Okay,
next
great.
Month without any other nightmares.
Sounds good. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks again. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Okay, that was Ava Bird, and wow, what a horrible experience she had. We're now going to bring you Philip Ferrugio from Port Orange, Florida, with "It's the Empire, Stupid."
Time to take a stand for our America. There's a wonderful line from Where I Do Not Really Know that says it all. So much is gained when only one person stands up and says no. For those of us who see through the hype and spin of this empire, Our nation is on the precipice of economic and moral ruin. This black hole or abyss runs deep, away from the seas of reason that founded our republic. The Gordon Gekko character in Oliver Stone's masterpiece film, Wall Street, expressed what the movers and shakers of this current military corporate empire hold so dear, that being that greed is good. Thus, we working stiffs, who make up the overwhelming majority of our population, are always on the receiving end of their anal shaft. Sadly, it matters not, in the grand scale of things, who of this two-party, one-party con job has the final word. Yes, the far right wing of this empire's political system is always the worst offender. Yet looking at the other, the right of center Democratic Party wing, they too carry the water for their warmongering corporate masters. Mr. Trump may be the epitome of Gordon Gekko's legacy, but the Obamas and Clintons did their due diligence to protect the empire as well. Here's the kicker. You look at all of the G7 leaders, and you should realize that they all serve their individual nations super rich. All of them. They may hide things a bit than people like the Donald do, but in the end, their own working stiffs are on the receiving end of their anal shaft. When the mainstream media is controlled so thoroughly by the uncles, aunts, and children of Gordon Gekko, we working stiffs never get the truth. Talk about fake news. They decide what news we all get handed to us by their talking heads. When was the last time you heard on the mainstream news shows, and even so many so-called independent media shows, that over half of your federal tax dollars goes towards military spending? Imagine how many fiscal problems can be solved if even half of that half went elsewhere. Name a need of choice of your own to loosen the cherished safety net and see how much of that 150 plus billion that we could save could be diverted that way. Imagine if the Congress acted primarily for the interests of the majority of us, how could they stop the funding of these phony wars in other nations, close most of the 1,000 plus foreign military bases, and send home our cherished military personnel? It is time for we working stiffs to get out on the street corners of our towns and cities to demand change. All it takes is a well-worded sign and some courage to counteract our foolish, propagandized neighbors, even for just 1 hour a week, same time, same place. That is how we who know better can better educate our fellow citizens about the truth. Try it. You may like it. Thank you.
That was Philip Ferrugio, and it's The Empire Stupid. And we continue to have some interesting technical challenges going on, but we've managed to get two columns out to you that half hour, and we're going to continue for the rest of the show. So thank you very much for sticking with us through the challenges, and we are expecting to hear the ad any time now for the next for the station break. So once again, thank you for putting up with our technical difficulties. Mike, are you back on there?
I'm here, Chuck. Yes, we should be hearing from the studio any minute now. Before we do, I just want to say that we plan to have ask Ava if she'll come back on next week. I think we need to talk about this more and to maybe replay that interview within a show that is kind of working and doesn't have a technical difficulty. I think we need to do that. And in the next half hour, we will have Azure Crispino and Mickey Z.
Mike, I'd like to tell you some good news. I just listened to the feed from the studio, the regular feed that everybody else gets to listen to, and our show is playing, so we really are on the air.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Good. Good to hear.
We'll be right back after this message.
everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Schneider will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the show is Azura Crispino. Azura Crispino joins us each month from Austin, Texas. Azura is a professor at Austin Community College. She often chooses to speak about prison issues, prisons and prisoners. And we're going to hear from Azura Crispino in Austin, Texas right now.
Greetings, listeners. This is Azura Crispino of Prison Abolition and Prisoner Support, or PAS, joining you today. As a reminder, August 21st, we'll kick off another round of prison strikes and disturbances. For those of you who aren't familiar with the date, Black August refers to the entirety of the month of August in terms of its history of prison uprisings and specifically being African-American led. But the 21st of August specifically deals with the anniversary of the assassination of George Jackson. We already have two prisoners that are in urgent need of help. So today's episode is basically dedicated to the prisoners of Ohio. The first prisoner in Ohio who really needs your help is Siddiqui Abdullah Hassan. He has been on hunger strike since Saturday. The background there is that on Friday, July 27th, Hassan was locked down on a conduct report signed by Brian Wittrup at the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections Central Office, which referred to his receiving information about the upcoming prison strike. Over the weekend, a phone zap was organized, and we are asking for people to call and write in to Director Gary Moore at 614-752-1153. If you don't have that available, you can check it out on the papstexas.blogspot.com website, or you can also get this information firsthand from the Central Ohio Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, or IWOC. They're the ones that are organizing the call-in strike for Hassan. But effectively, even though the prison strikes have not even begun yet, he is already being retaliated against. For those of you who don't recall Hassan's story, he's currently being held at Ohio State Penitentiary in Youngstown, Ohio, where he has been convicted of a death, which we all believe him to be innocent of, related to the Lucasville uprising. Also in Ohio, we have another situation of heavy retaliation, this time with Sean Swain. So for context, I just went to visit Sean when I was just in Ohio, and the situation with him is pretty dire. So for those of you who are unaware, Sean Swain is well known as an anarchist prisoner. He has a history of writing some really beautiful satire, including a book that was recently published called The Last Act of the Circus Animals. A piece was written and attributed to Sean and posted online advocating the use of drones to drop weapons and tobacco into prisons, basically saying if Nat Turner were alive today, this is what Nat Turner would be doing. But there is no evidence that Sean actually wrote this piece, and indeed an activist has come forward and claimed responsibility for having written this piece. Nevertheless, after Sean had filed a lawsuit against Trevor Clark, who is the assistant attorney for the Ohio Department of Corrections, Sean received a write-up for having written this piece, which he denied having written, or at least said that there was no evidence that he had written. And basically what's happening right now is that they initially increased Sean's security level from a 3 to a 4, which means that when I went to visit him, he was handcuffed, and then his handcuffs were tied to a belt around his waist. So we had to get really creative in terms of me just being able to hug him, not to mention that he couldn't reach for a soda. And the justification was that he had written this piece. So I was able to go visit Sean again after he had his disciplinary hearing. In this disciplinary hearing, he was not given a written write-up of the grievance. He was not given any ability to question his accusers. And he was not given the information that the real author of the piece had come forward and taken responsibility and apologized for attributing the piece to him. He was found guilty, and his security rating was raised to a 5B. Now, 5B is the absolute highest security rating that somebody can have in the state of Ohio. If this grievance is not overturned, Sean is looking at a year in solitary confinement and the very real possibility of being shipped around on interstate compacts from state to state. So what that would mean is that he would be in administrative segregation and he would be getting shipped from state to state. He would have no ability to have access to any of the rehabilitative programs that are required for him to take in order to be eligible for parole in 2021. So the situation that Sean is facing is that for allegedly having written words on a piece of paper, he is looking at the potential of being in administrative segregation for the rest of his natural life. Obviously, for those of us who are his friends, this is completely unacceptable. And I urge every single one of you to go to papstexas.blogspot.com, check out our blog on how to get involved, and call in for Sean. And basically, if you want, you can do it as a 2-for-1, because it's really that same initial number that is being called, which is Bragg Moore, M-O-H-R, at 614-752-1153. Now, I understand that the director's assistant may have turned off her phone due to the high volume of calls. Great, keep it up. That means that it's working. But I would encourage those of you who are unable to get through on that line to check out our website to see some of the other possibilities for calling in or writing in. Central Ohio IWOC has taken the additional step of posting his home address on their Facebook page. If you think that that is an appropriate action to take, then you may wish to gently and politely write Director Moore at his home address. I will leave that up to your discernment. So rounding up the news from Ohio, I have a piece here written by Greg Curry. Greg is also being held at Ohio State Penitentiary in Ohio. He's also innocent of a murder that was committed by somebody else, but that he was convicted of during the Lucasville uprising. I had the pleasure of also seeing Greg while I was at Ohio State Penitentiary, and I would like to take this moment now to read Greg's latest piece. An unprofessional analyst on paralysis mental illness. Mental illness has many layers. It goes without saying that a person trying to physically harm themselves is mentally ill, not so defined as a prisoner sentenced to life, confined to a prison of any security level, whom continually wait for to be harassed by prison low-wage cops, other prisoners' instability that could manifest in a violent outburst at any time, bad food, bad medical care, petty arbitrary rules, lack of fresh air, clean water, lack of any real hope beyond the next commissary day or family visit. Year after year, some prisoners hold out hope for a favorable court decision or parole hearing, security level reduction that never happens as he ages, as he internalizes oppression of, as he internalized suppression of basic human rights, as we normalize not being able to take a dump uninterrupted, endless strip searches. As the faith in one God or the other grows, any sign of thirst, hunger for freedom diminish. The more hours given to play, the less likely anyone cares about their situation. And yet tomorrow we're up bright and early, smiling, happy, singing, dancing within the acceptable boundaries decided by our overseers. This is mental illness. Otherwise, these gods, these courts, these lawyers, these prayers, this love, these distractions would be meaningless in the face of the actual fact that year after year, we're still here. Let's get sane. Let's have a revolution of the mind. Freedom first, Greg Curry. I'm sure that Greg would love to hear from you. His number is 213-159, and he's at Ohio State Penitentiary, 878 Coatesville Hubbard Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44505. So I would just like to describe real quick the what it was like to visit Greg. He wasn't the only person that I visited at OSP. I also visited Jermaine Scott, was unfortunately unable to see Hassan. But basically, the entirety of the visit was behind glass. We were able to take a picture, but it was with me perched on one side of the glass and him perched on the other side of the glass. And I thought this was interesting. Although there were vending machines, I could have purchased vending for myself, but they would not have allowed me to share the vending with him. Now, in Texas, if I go and visit somebody who is in administrative segregation, there is the possibility that I can purchase vending for them and that the correctional officer will then give them the vending. So because I was doing two back-to-back visits, I was basically in a situation where I could either eat in front of somebody who's not allowed to share in the food with me, and my mama raised me better than that, or I could just not eat or drink at all, which effectively meant that from the time that I got to the unit at about 8:45, by the time I left the unit at about 2:30, I was unable to eat or drink. Now, this is a small sacrifice to pay. Obviously, Hassan is on a hunger strike right now. Sean's been on hunger strikes before. Greg's been on hunger strikes before. But I would just like to remind everyone just the conditions that we're dealing with here in terms of isolation. So I did 5 prison visits in 4 days. And most of the people that I went to visit had not had a visit in years. One of the people I visited had not had a visit since 2007. Now, I understand that some of you might say, what can I do about this? And the answer is going to be the same answer that I've been giving you every month here on New American Dream. Write a postcard. Please
write a letter, reach out across the razor wire. You don't know how it's going to change you. You don't know how it's going to change the person who receives it. But most importantly, it's important for us to be creating connection. You don't know when you plant a seed, what tree you will get, what fruit that tree will bear in your life, in the life of the prisoner, but most importantly, in the life of our community. We must be planting the seeds of revolution, and those seeds of revolution begin with connection. It begins with you. It begins with me. A lot of you seem to think that what I do is somehow crazy or impossible, like what I'm doing is not something that you can do. But the truth of the matter is, all it takes is being consistent and persistent. And in this particular case, we have two revolutionaries who desperately need your help, Sean and Hassan. They need a phone call from you, two Ohio officials. They need a letter from you, two Ohio officials, letting those officials know that the world is watching, that we will not stand by as these men watch their security rating increase, watch themselves be in a situation where a friend can't even give them a hug because they have to be shackled up behind glass. This is simply unacceptable. The reality of the situation is that most of you think that if you had been alive in Nazi Germany, you would have stood up against the Nazis. You would have torn down those concentration camps. Well, let me tell you something. Each and every American citizen lives within 10 miles of a concentration camp. It's called a prison, and we're not doing enough about it. For those of you who don't believe me, this is institutionalized slavery. There is no question about the human rights, complete and utter lack of human rights that we're seeing in this situation. So you have two options. You can continue to listen to me and say, wow, she sounds really passionate about this. That's awesome. Change the channel. Or you can pick up a pen, you can pick up a postcard, you can pick up a rice stamp, and you can make a connection with an individual person right this second. Which is it going to be? Power to the people. Can't wait for August 21st. You'll be hearing about all of the other people who are being repressed for engaging in these sorts of actions to try to resist and try to rebel. You can sit on the sidelines or you can help to support them. I hope that you will join me. Have a good day.
Thank you, Azura. And I really appreciate your passion and what you're saying. And I hope some of us will get out there and do something about it. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Well, everyone, it's time once again to speak to Mickey G from Astoria, New York. Welcome to the show, Mick.
Thank you very much, Chuck. It's a pleasure as always.
Well, good, good. We got into an interesting little dust up on Facebook in this past month, where you had posted an article, but I really read, I think, only the headline and made some sort of a rather flippant comment. And we butted heads a little bit and of course, stayed friends. But I'd like to talk about that kind of a scenario on social media.
I would love to.
Okay. Well, I think that I am probably not alone or even unusual in tending to reply to things without really getting to read all of the details. So, I mean, that's one thing that is a problem with social media and that makes it less than an effective means of communication.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we could do 20 shows on what's wrong with social media, but this specific approach that you're taking here is, I learned this the hard way, I guess, like being a writer for many years, and I've been on Facebook for over 8 years, although I'm about to take a nice break now. I always post my articles after they get posted. By the way, I write for World News Trust, if people want to go check that out. So I post those articles, and I made the foolish assumption that people read them, A, and I made a not-so-foolish assumption that if they commented, then that means they definitely read it. And then I realized rather quickly that that was far from the case. And then I began to practice what they call clickbait titles, where I was like, all right, well, I got to come up with names, like I got to call my articles, use language that's going to provoke people to click, and then you hope they read it. And then ultimately what's happened, and it's not just on social media, I think it's everywhere, is that the love of reading is something that is fading, and it's notoriously known on social media in particular and the internet in general that the biggest attention getters are short, kind of sensationalist videos. And so we've kind of transferred our attention span to that. So that situation that you described between you and I may have, the topic of the article may have played a role in it, but in a bigger picture sense, yeah, we all fall prey to that. And it's part of the reason, I can just make one personal comment, it's part of the reason that during my 8 years on Facebook, you'll very rarely, if ever, see me comment on someone else's page, because I often do feel self-conscious that these words are going to be up there and screenshotted and people are going to see it. And there are some, I mean, I've been writing long enough and have enough books out that some people know who I am, that I'm like, well, I don't want those words to be flippant in any way. And so I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just explaining like my logic of why you will rarely see me write on anyone else's wall. And I feel like my Facebook page is my tiny little infinitesimal corner of the internet where I can say ultimately whatever I want and have the right to comment on what people do say back because it's my tiny little space. But I long ago gave up the fight that people were going to take the time to even read a 500-word article anymore. So, yeah it's the ramifications of that are painfully obvious in terms of what it does to the greater public debate.
Well, absolutely so. Yeah, as far as the short bits being... Well, videos do not tend to get my attention, at least not positive attention. Videos tend to be, especially videos that play automatically, tend to get me to close a window.
Same here.
I may be a little unusual there, but as far as reading, you know, I love reading, but I'm always trying to do too many things at once. You know, if I'm going through Facebook, I'm rolling down and seeing things, and especially depending on certain people who post, and if I see something that looks like it's worth commenting on, sometimes I will do it too quickly. And this really brought that home to me, and I'm being a little more careful now. But it's a tendency. I think it's something the platform encourages, really.
I agree. And you know what? I'm going to take back how I phrased that I said the love of reading is being lost. I'm going to bring it closer to what you said, because I don't necessarily believe the love of reading is lost, but there is this new almost cult of multitasking. And therefore, it makes reading, in-depth reading, more challenging. And I'm sure you can agree with this, I grew up in a generation where when you decided to read, you would take a book and sit on the couch and read. You didn't stare at the TV, you didn't have a conversation. You said, oh, this new book looks interesting. Or say, I was an avid New York City newspaper reader. Writing the Subway, the Daily News, the New York Post. I would always just read from cover to cover, sports pages and everything. And while I was sitting on the subway, of course I'm keeping an eye out because it's the subway, but for the most part I'm paying attention to what I was doing. While I agree with you, what the internet / smartphone / social media culture has inspired is this desire to not miss anything. and therefore we go too fast to things, including even thinking that we're so adept at this at times. I think most of us are pretty good multitaskers, but inevitably there's going to be a time where we're going to jump the gun on something and perhaps get into, like you said, a little dust up. Between you and I, it's no big deal. You've seen, I'm sure you've witnessed on Facebook, when people decide to be really mean, they'll drag out a
Claymore. Absolutely, yeah, really.
Days. And I look at that and say, what an investment of time and energy to do that, to say, this is where I'm going to think about it. I'm going to tag friends and bring them into the debate and so on and so forth. So I think that, yes, I will take that back and blend it with what you said, where it's this odd convergence of influences leading us to be less likely to read things in depth for a variety of different reasons. And clearly that hurts us intellectually and emotionally. Reading is one of the joys of being human. And absolutely. It also clearly hurts us politically and socially, because nobody has a grasp. I mean, we live in a Twitter time now where the quote-unquote leader of the free world could say whatever he wants and pretend he didn't say it the next day with no context, no footnotes, no nothing. And you say to yourself, well, yeah, I mean, look, can you imagine? I'm asking, not collectively, like you personally, can you imagine what it would have been like to grow up in a world where you never knew anything but the internet and smartphones? Because I can't even conceive of what that must feel like in the brains of, say, a 21-year-old right now who's never lived without the internet or a smartphone. And it scares me, and I actually feel genuine pity for them, because I'm so grateful that I spent the majority of my life talking face-to-face with people, sitting on stoops, running around, being physically active, and not knowing what was going on every corner of the globe, because now we know that, and we think that we have some magic powers to affect it by changing the color of our profile picture. And I didn't know that when I was 15, 16 years old, and I couldn't have helped anyway. So I was less stressed, I was less distracted, I was focused on the present moment in front of me, and I'm grateful. I'm taking a Facebook break now because I need to get back into that mindfulness, but I'm so grateful that I grew up in a time where it was more the default setting, that you were where you were, right there in the moment, because there were so many less distractions.
Well, I think that's very true. And, the attention span has gotten so much shorter, and the multitasking, it's really changed. It's a paradigm shift.
I agree. And I don't know, it kind of falls into our conversations we've had about activism, where there's nothing you and I personally can do to change that paradigm shift. So all we can do is struggle each day, wake up each morning like with a blank slate, saying, what can I do today to be more mindful and present in my life and with the people in my life? Because you and I, this conversation or anything we individually do on Facebook isn't going to change that paradigm shift. I don't know what is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, certainly we're not going to change the paradigm, but we might change one or two people's minds, and then they might change somebody's mind. And, if we're thoughtful about what we do, I think that we can still make a difference in that way. We need to make a lot more difference one-on-one with people in the real world.
I agree, and I would never downplay the value of even impacting one person, just because I know that I've watched some YouTube videos and so on explaining what social media does to us in terms of like being similar to literally like substance abuse addictions and so on, and whoever took the time to make that video impacted me, and so I'm grateful for that. And I can only hope that conversations like this can get other people thinking about what's best for them and the people in their life.
Exactly. Well, I had hoped that we would be able to get into the specifics of the conversation, but we didn't, and we're out of time. But maybe next time.
it's really like a month.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Coming this fall on CBS, Survivor Nebraska. You will survive uncomfortable family holidays, uber patriotic tractor parades, teachers who teach fake American history, Survivor Nebraska. You will be dropped in the middle of town between the cannon and the church and the elevator and the bank and Arby's and be expected to learn to survive by speaking the native tongue, never using words with more than two syllables. Welcome. Do what we say and you can live out your days in Nebraska. It's a nice place. We like it here. We've never been anywhere else. Neither will you. If you do not learn to follow the rules of Survivor Nebraska, you will live to regret it. You can say whatever you like, but if you say something we don't like, you will forever be a stranger among us. The tribe has spoken. Funding for tonight's program is provided by GoBarbaraBush.com, as well as the United States Navy, a global force for good, the United States Army, be all you can be, the United States Air Force, peace is our profession, and the United States Marines, the few, the proud, the brave, because we could never sell you the truth. This portion of our program is being provided to you by the good folks at The Next Big Thing. New apps for your phone. More stuff for you to do while you are doing that boring driving thing. Well, folks, hold on to your hats because this new app is going to rock your world. It's the application that allows you to understand that UFOs, Bigfoot, and conspiracies are real. Download it today. Well, maybe tomorrow. We're working on it. The 1,000th season of Finding Bigfoot starts in November. Find it on the Animal Planet Network or by sitting in the McDonald's parking lot and using their internet service. We're getting dangerously close to the time when everyone will know that Bigfoot exists. We're not sure if you're ready for that, and that's why we're working overtime on new apps for you. We kind of like being one of the ones in the know, knowing about something so magical that others don't yet realize, but soon that will not be possible. Richard Dolan, the moment of disclosure is not the end of anything. It's the beginning of the real fight for truth. We saw demonstrations of a million people in Tahrir Square Don't you think there might be a march of a million people on Area 51, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Los Alamos, maybe? I'll bet you Wacken Hut security can stop a march of 100 people, but not a million, not a million. And don't you think that just might happen? And what about opening up a new truth movement? Because after UFOs, then 9/11, JFK, underground bases, you name it, chemtrails, it's all going to be on the table. By God, what an exciting, challenging mess it's going to be. And so, in other words, the moment of disclosure is not going to be the end of anything. It's the beginning for the real fight for truth, not the end. The folks at the next big thing ask you to be careful what you hope for, huh? What happens the day Barack Obama and George W. Bush and his father are walked out of the golf course in handcuffs, charged with prior knowledge and hiding information about a felony, the attacks of 9/11? And the thoughtful U.S. Marshal puts his hand on George Sr.'s head so he does not bump it on the door, and we get the final public sneer of that career criminal. And it appears on the front page of the New York Post and Time Magazine and Rolling Stone. What happens when the talk about UFOs and Bigfoot and the Wellstone murder are about details and where and when and how, rather than a rolling of the eyes? What happens when we have actual names and court cases and confessions and Newsweek and Wall Street Journal and New York Times front page stories about the trial of some still living principals in the JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King Jr. murders? Our whole world will be rocked. And somebody will need to make an app for that in a darn big hurry. But thanks to the folks at the next big thing, it's already in the works, guys. Things will be different. Our whole perception of life and what we should be doing in life will be changed forever. That might be scary, but it's where we need to go. Down the rabbit hole, folks. Step right up. Don't be shy. Okay, now, careful, one at a time. No pushing. Everybody will get their turn. Easy now. Careful. There you go. We're the next big thing. And we bring your world to your vehicle, your doorstep, and right on up to your mind. We have just been handed a bulletin from Mark, the most dangerous blogger on the planet. We hear on this blog entitled, "Moon Dust and Cheetos Dust Are Both Orange." Get it? Mark says, the government is the enemy. It has gotten away with staging so many amateurish false flag events. Assassination of JFK, Oklahoma City, federal building bombing, 9/11, WTC, nukes, etc., that no objective analyst would have any respect left for our nefarious rulers. The USS Titanic is doomed. 99.9% of people I know just want their comforts, their new football season, their new TV seasons, etc. I am a thorn in their ass talking about 9/11, Sandy Hook, false flags, sending them articles. When the military draft was done away with, the government took the people's skin out of the game. The result is a lazy and indifferent citizen that can afford to say, hey, it ain't my problem. So we the people are ultimately responsible for these events and many more to come. The American fascist would prefer not to use violence. His method is to poison the channels of public information. With a fascist, the problem is never how best to present the truth to the public, but how best to use the news to deceive the public into giving the fascist and his group more money or more power. That there are men in all countries who get their living by war and by keeping up the quarrels of nations is as shocking as it is true. The tragedy of September 11, 2001 goes far beyond the deaths of those who died in the towers and the deaths of firefighters and first responders who succumbed to illnesses caused by inhalation of toxic dust. For umpteen years, a new generation of Americans has been born into the 9/11 myth that has been used to recreate the American warfare police state. The corrupt Bush and Obama regimes used 9/11 to kill, maim, dispossess, and displace millions of Muslims in seven countries, none of whom had anything whatsoever to do with 9/11. A generation of Americans has been born into disdain and distrust of Muslims. A generation of Americans has been born into a police state in which privacy and constitutional protections no longer exist. A generation of Americans has been born into continuous warfare while needs of citizens go unmet. A generation of Americans has been born into a society in which truth is replaced with the endless repetition of falsehoods. According to the official story, on September 11, 2001, the vaunted national security state of the world's only superpower was defeated by a few young Saudi Arabians armed only with box cutters. If such a thing had actually happened, there would have been demands from the White House, from Congress, and from the media for an investigation. Officials would have been held accountable for their failures. Heads would have rolled. Instead, the White House resisted for 1 year the 9/11 family's demands for an investigation. The worst security failure in history resulted in not a single firing. No one was held responsible. Washington concluded that 9/11 was possible because America lacked a police state. The Patriot Act, which was awaiting the event, was quickly passed by the congressional idiots. The act established executive branch independence of law and constitution. The act and follow-up measures have institutionalized a police state in the land of the free. Osama bin Laden, a CIA asset dying of renal failure, was blamed despite his explicit denial. For the next 10 years, Osama bin Laden was the boogeyman that provided the excuse for Washington to kill countless numbers of Muslims. Then suddenly, on May 2, 2011, Obama claimed that U.S. Navy SEALs had killed bin Laden in Pakistan. Eyewitnesses on the scene contradicted the White House's story. Osama bin Laden became the only human in history to survive renal failure for 10 years. There was no dialysis machine in what was said to be bin Laden's hideaway. The numerous obituaries of bin Laden's death in December 2001 went down the memory hole, and the SEAL team died a few weeks later in a mysterious helicopter crash in Afghanistan. The thousands of sailors on the aircraft carrier from which bin Laden was said to have been dumped into the Indian Ocean wrote home that no such burial took place. The fairy tale story of bin Laden's murder by SEAL Team 6 served to end the challenge by disappointed Democrats to Obama's nomination for a second term. It also freed the war on terror from the bin Laden constraint. Washington wanted to attack Libya, Syria, and Iran, countries in which bin Laden was known not to have organizations, and the succession of fake bin Laden videos in which bin Laden grew progressively younger as the fake bin Laden claimed credit for each successive attack had lost credibility among experts. Watching the Twin Towers and WTC come down, it was obvious to me that the buildings were not falling down as a result of structural damage. When it became clear that the White House had blocked an independent investigation of the only three steel skyscrapers in world history to collapse as a result of low-temperature office fires, it was apparent that there was a cover-up. After all these years, people at home and abroad find the government story less believable. 9/11 was used to fundamentally alter the nature of the U.S. government and its relationship to the American people. Unaccountable executive power has replaced due process and the checks and balances established by the U.S. Constitution. In the name of national security, executive power knows no restraints. Essentially, Americans today have no rights if the government targets them. Those Americans born after 9/11 were born into a different country from the rest of us. Having never experienced constitutional government, they will not know what they have lost. Most Americans are unaware of the extent to which the federal government owns the experts who can contradict its fairy tales. The 9/11 lie has persisted for many years. Millions of Muslims have paid for this lie with their lives, the destruction of their families, and with their dislocation. Most Americans remain comfortable with the fact that their government has destroyed in whole or part seven countries based on a lie Washington told to cover up an inside job that launched the crazed neoconservative drive for Washington's world empire.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. As we know, there are known towns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know, but there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we don't know, we don't know. Donald Rumsfeld, United States Secretary of Defense. February 12, 2002, Department of Defense news briefing. Go back to bed, America. Your government has figured out how it all transpired. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control. Here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. There's 56 channels of it. Watch these pituitary retards bang their fucking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You're free to do what we tell you. You're free to do what we tell you. Bill Hicks. Someone was killing the Democrats in Orange County, Ohio. I wouldn't have cared, but I said I was a Democrat. Didn't much care to have my throat slit as I pulled into the garage or have my brakes fail and plow headlong into the concrete culvert out on the bypass around the curb by the new Taco John's. Have my head split like a good watermelon or have a 50-pound sack of sugar fall on my neck from the top shelf as I bent down to try to read the label on the All brand with my trifocal. Prime suspect was Jesus, Ohio, the terrorist. Is this heaven? Well, up here, kind of does maybe seem like that. I'm way up here. Up here on the water tower. Well, not on the water tower. On that walkway that goes around. Got one of those silver pointed ones. Not so big. Not like the big round white ones they have in Columbus and Cleveland. Ours depicts at various times the town names, current graduating class, current mayors, current girlfriend, current state of local educational system via spelling acumen. I've been stationed here by the local city council to look for terrorists for Jesus, Ohio. Maybe his gang. You might have a gang. That's some of the reports we've been getting. I'm scanning the perimeter. Looking for the Ohio terrorist, Jesus, Ohio, as well as any other terror types. Hey, they gave me this cool pitch helmet with netting and a beeper. I get a beeper. I tried it. It beeps. Got this assistant, Jordan. He's going to be in fifth grade in the fall. He sends me up extra water on this pulley system he fixed up. Maybe I'm facing the wrong way. What I see is Mrs. Vander Vandresen pulling into the Hy-Vee lot. She's been pulling in for most of the morning. There's a special on iceberg lettuce. And I see Jared Vanderboom. He's driving around in the cruiser, mostly watching me. Most of the city council coming out of coffee at family table. They're not really supposed to get together like that. People think they're planning, making decisions outside of meetings. They're pointing up at me. Hey, guys. There's a spire of St. Judy's Catholic Church over in Creameryville on the other side of the corn and soybeans and the river and the dump and the National Guard Armory. There's lights on the ball field, the construction site for the new middle school next to the high school. The kids arranging the lawn chair sale display in the Pamida parking lot. Some of our teams went to state last year. The one-act play group got a gold medal in Columbus. They always do. It's a tradition. I can see apple pies cooling, blueberries ripening. I hear cardinals. The noon whistle of the White Picket Fence Factory, well, it's more of a toot. I can see how Jesus, Ohio would want to ruin it all. Parker. Rumored he hates us for our hand-sized bluegills and the smell of wood smoke and lawn leaves. And he steals leaves. If any good terrorist knows, the way to really stick it to freedom is to demolish icons. I'll keep my eyes peeled. Is this a great country or what? That's the question. Looking for the truth about America. Become a cottage industry these days. Well, most of us are in the habit of believing things, especially when they come from mainstream sources. We believe things mostly because we see them on TV or because a respected expert or leader assures us they're true. Jeez, don't do that. Where we are, where we're heading, place where nobody believes anything coming out of Washington, D.C., printed in our major newspapers, seen on TV, heard on the radio, because we know it's all lies. The way the folks leaning on the bar and the rusty sickle in downtown Moscow must have felt about each pronouncement that came from the Kremlin. Us. Pravda. They're shaking their heads, saying, what a lie, a bunch of sons of midgets and muskox. Don't make a difference. Only difference is it's us. It's now. It's here. We can't believe this is happening to us. And we'll deny it's happening to us for the rest of our lives. Remember those press conferences on TV where the director of Homeland Security stands up there with the director of the FBI? They're sporting spanking new look the fuck out terror orange hard hats, t-shirts, padded vest with hip waders and camo, waterproof hunting boots cut to the calf, duck calls sticking out of their back pocket. Well, that was leading up to the last presidential election. They don't have them anymore. Under what? Get ready to blow the fuck out of the Iranians, who are each and every one born terrorists, of course. Now we have to have terrorists in a New York City airport. Well, to show that it makes perfect sense to kill the Iranians. Time to re-duct tape your windows, dude. We forget too easily. Remember. Remember how George W. Bush came to power. A coup d'etat. He stole the presidential election twice, abetted by the Supreme Court and the free press. We, some of us, I, suspect he and his junta engineered 9/11, murdered Paul Wellstone, lied about WMD. The fuckers have secret prisons in Poland and Romania and Disneyland. They torture people. All this for power. Don't worry about a thing. The perimeter is secure. I'll let you know if I see anything. Hasta los tacos. Oh, there. There's Lula Vanderswag. I could see a lot more if I had some binos. Hey. Hey, Jordan! That's the news from Moonrock Lake. For all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions we have. There's no wrong questions, no hidden black military budget, no UFO files Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes, no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police, no evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR, the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about this, 17-year war, the debacle, to trial. Put them on TV just like OJ every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not a new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. They all know it. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to hear of their broken country. We need to put people on the stand. We're allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's somebody's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go to face with the empire, those in the plowshares movement, Jess and Ruby. Many, many examples. We'd like to thank you for joining us tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show. We're sorry we had so many technical difficulties, but we managed to get this thing out there, and we managed to play our interviews, and there were some great ones, great guests this week, and we really appreciate that, and we thank you for sticking with us. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Yeah, and thanks, Chuck, from all of us for gutting it out and making sure that we got those interviews out, because they were very important, and you did it, and congratulations to you for that. And thanks to our guests, Ava Bird, Azura Crispino, Mickey Z, Phil Ferruccio, and one guest we missed was Frank Cordero. We weren't able to make contact with Frank Cordero, and we hope to talk to him next week. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you will find information about all of our regular guests and also the show archives, newdream.us, also penmagazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. I have to turn my head until my darkness goes. I see a line of cars and they're all painted black, with flowers and my love both never to come back. I see people turn their heads and quickly look away, like a newborn baby, it just happens every day. I look inside myself and see my heart is black. I see my red door, I must have it painted black. Maybe then I'll fade away, not have to face the fact. It's not easy facing up when your whole world is black. No more will my green sea go turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you. If I look hard enough into the setting sun, my love will laugh with me before the morning comes. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
See it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio. Where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio.